Welcome to Day Zero Update for February 16th, 2025. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Janra Victoria.
And yeah, we had a big week this week of news, particularly the PlayStation State of Play happened and got us a bunch of stuff here to talk about and think about, along with a number of other things here. Games getting some dates, one that, let's say, we're very skeptical of because of their recent history, but others here doing some interesting stuff here in the near future, so we'll get to that stuff here in a bit, but before we do that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I will kick it off here. I've been playing a new PC game that came out last week, I think, or I think like a week or so ago, that is doing pretty well on Steam. It's a $5 game. It's called A Game About Digging a Hole, which, if you can't figure out from the name, is a game about digging a hole. Essentially starts with you kind of finding this sign on a bulletin board that says there's this house you could buy for $10,000, and you can start digging in the backyard and make tons of money. In that sense, the big thing here is that you initially start with a basic shovel, though in the scope of the way this game works, it is an electronic shovel that has a battery to it. So you can only use it, you know, for so long initially. And then as you're digging in this backyard, you're unearthing stones and coal and other materials as you get deeper in. And that as you fill up your inventory, you go back up and sell it. In your garage has machines for selling and upgrading your stuff. So you go and sell it, use that money to either recharge your battery. You can refill your health, because if you fall from greater distances, you take damage. Or you go and upgrade one of four things. You upgrade the shovel, so you kind of have a bigger spot you dig out than previous. Then eventually you get a nice drill that just kind of weirdly warps the dirt as you kind of drill around. You upgrade your inventory so you can hold more stuff. You also upgrade your battery so that the shovel slash drill lasts longer. And then you can buy a jetpack that then you upgrade to be able to fly fly better, I guess. The way it describes it, it's a little weird. It's like jetpack strength. It's not supposed to be a terribly long game. I'm about 5 hours in, and I think I have the end in sight, but I'm trying to... There's like one side thing you... find in your garage a chest that has two locks on it. So I'm looking for another key, and that's the challenge right now. I found one of the keys. I've not found the other one. I'm not 100% sure, and I don't want to like plow through the end and have to start over again. If that's how it works, I don't know. But yeah, it is a fun game. It's a fun, you know, kind of time waster sorts, you know, put on Netflix or something and play for, you know, 30 minutes or an hour or whatever. I do recommend maybe early on playing with a controller, because with the mouse, you're just clicking a ton with the mouse to shovel into spots. Whereas on a controller, you can kind of do it a little more reasonably and not sort of wear out your hand or fingers or whatever. On that, so but once you get the drill, you kind of just do whatever from there. So yeah, that's been a fun game to play around with. And the weird thing is I have not gotten any achievements yet. It has 10 achievements, one for finding the end thing, and then there's 9 hidden ones, so I don't know what that means for that. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what that is. If it requires replaying, that's fine. I believe there is an extra mode in there from what I've heard once you beat it. So there's definitely more to do in there. But yeah, that's been the main thing I've been playing. I've also been playing some more Balatro as I'm trying to get further into the game, unlock more stuff. But yeah, that's kind of working on some of these harder difficulties, particularly one that adds these cards that have an, I think they're called like infinite cards or something like that. Mm-hmm. Essentially, you can't sell them back. So you very much have to decide if the, whatever the Joker is worth investing into permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, other cards that you have more flexibility with. So there's that. I also did a challenge run because I forgot to. That's just a little bit of a harder thing to reach in the menus because you're just able to just hit quickly to start up a game. Mm-hmm. But the challenge is kind of one of those options that's not hidden, but it's you just may not notice it for a bit. But I started working on some of those. The first one, there was a bunch of those egg cards in your Joker spots, so that.
Mm-hmm.
As you complete more hands or rounds or whatever, they increase in value in a nice mm-hmm. way. And then you sell to add another Joker in, and you're kind of dealing with all this potential money to work with. It's not a super hard one, which mm-hmm. is probably why it's one of the first ones you get. But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been doing. So how about you, Brandon?
Well... As for me, I have, well, first and foremost, I finished Coffee Talk Episode 2, and compared to the first Coffee Talk, that game was actually a lot more difficult than the first one was. The first one, like, when you're trying to make whatever your customer is ordering, generally you're given a lot of, like, a lot of information about what specifically they want. With like one or two exceptions where I did kind of have to look it up, but most of it, like there, you know, there's like a little mini encyclopedia that you can go into that shows you what ingredients have to be done and in what order. Not in episode two, though. In episode two, it's actually a lot more difficult, and there's a lot of trial and error involved. There's also this new like lost and found mechanic that they get where every so often customers will like leave some object behind, like a, you know, like a business card or a cigarette lighter or a key or something like that. And you have to, you know, remember to give it to them at a specific time. But yeah, I finished that and it was fantastic, just like the first one was. And I'm happy to know that there is a third Coffee Talk game coming out. But that is still a little ways away. So after I finished that, I went and bought Trails Through Daybreak 2. Now, I had played both the battle demo and the story demo. So I was already a sort of fair way into the game when I started. But yeah, pretty much like what Dan Reb talked about, the game is essentially... it does kind of do that thing with Trails into Reverie where you've got like a storyline that's essentially split up into a couple of different parts that are sort of running parallel to each other. And, you know, you can sort of switch back and forth between them more or less at your leisure. But there are parts of it where, you know, you can't go any further until the other storyline gets to a certain point. But I'm still fairly early in the game. And so, you know, I've still got a pretty long ways to go. But otherwise, I mean, it's still more Trails and it's still more Marsh and Garten thing. Mechanic is, it's okay. It's very clearly like they're trying to do like, oh, it's Sword Art Online. What a shocker. But, you know, it's fun for what it is, and, you know, the stuff that you can get in there is pretty neat, so there is that. There are some things that are a little awkward. The whole, like, new stealth mechanic that they brought in is... it's a little obtuse, and it doesn't really do a good job of sort of telling you how it's supposed to work. But, yeah... I got over it fairly quickly and kind of figured it out sort of through trial and error. But There's also this like hacking mechanic that you use using your holo, which is it's not bad, but it's a little it controls very weird. It's got like weird, almost like tank controls, and it's kind of awkward because you're trying to get her through like this 3D maze, trying to avoid these obstacles, and then every time you get to like these little areas you gotta hack through, there's like these quick button combinations you gotta get through. It's not terrible or anything, but it is kind of awkward. But yeah, that's basically what I've been playing, and I've been kind of making some guesses of like where the plot is gonna go, going forward, here and there. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. So Danrib, what about you?
Yeah, so I pretty much finished and rolled credits on Trails to Daybreak 2. And I'll definitely say, yeah, it hit the landing. And I didn't go through the post game yet. The post game is just more Mark Yengarten. And yeah, that's not something I'm looking too forward to, as I have other stuff to play. So I'll eventually jump back in there. But yeah, it was definitely a pretty cool boss battle. My main complaint with the last part of the game is that a lot of it is really just boss rushes through a lot of the previous bosses in Trails Through Daybreak 1. So that was I wouldn't call it disappointing, but it's definitely recycling old content that kind of makes it feel lazy in that regard. That being said, there's definitely a lot of fun to be had. If you're all about character development, the last chapter prior to that final dungeon is really fun. If you've played any Trails game before, you know what it involves. I'll just say it involves school. So yeah, that should say enough. But yeah, definitely enjoyed my time, and you can read my review, which went up last week. The other game that I've been playing is Afterlove EP. This is an indie game created by a small studio in Indonesia called Pixelnesia, and this game is actually the last project from this designer, Mohamed Fahmy, who is actually responsible for some games like Coffee Talk that Brandon's been playing. He's also done another really short game called What Comes After, and he also has credits for A Space for the Unbound. Actually, a lot of the studio is former Toge Productions, so that's where they all have their start. And yeah, Afterlove EP has been a game that's been in development for a while. Unfortunately, Fahmy tragically passed away in 2021 or 2022, one of those, and the game has seen tumultuous development ever since. But I can say that the end result is really good. So basically, you play this guy Rama. He's a young musician struggling to move on with his life after the passing of his girlfriend, and it's been more than a year, and he's still coping. And that being said, life doesn't wait for you. This guy is the lead of his band. He has a lot of relationships, and his coping has been rough. And as bad as all that has been, he always hears his girlfriend in his head wherever he goes, and whenever he has a conversation, you're gonna have his girlfriend butt in anyway, anyhow, and you see this right away in the game. So games like this are all about reading dialogue, but then whenever Cinta talks, which is all the time, you actually hear it. So at first her voice came off as annoying to me, but I guess that was kind of intentional, and eventually she grows on you. She's the main character's ex-girlfriend, so you definitely feel for a lot of the emotions that they eventually portray, and they do a really good job with that. Also, with him being in a band, there is also a rhythm game component there, similar to games like Rock Band or whatever it may be. It's all just timing based, and all of the songs are made from an indie band also in Indonesia. Another thing that I thought was pretty cool with this game is it kind of has a persona system. There's a day and night system, and you want to make sure you use your days properly so you can go ahead and build on the relationships that you come across along the way, whether it be hanging out with your bandmates, hanging out with a few love interests. And also there's also you have the option of going to therapy. And yeah, seeing all of that in action, and having the themes of love and loss, is it made the end result a really powerful game. And As for the persona component, all of this takes course over a month, with the last day being your final performance with your band. So, depending on how you go ahead and spend your time, you might end up breaking up with the band, or you might keep things moving forward. But yeah, there's a lot of different kinds of interesting drama throughout. And the art style is pretty cool. It kind of resembles manga. And yeah, this game also takes place in post not, not postmodern, sorry, urbanized Jakarta. Also, a big part of Indonesia. So it's really cool as far as its diversity component. So this game took me roughly 8 hours to finish, and there are multiple endings depending on who you romance or if you even choose to romance at all. My main complaint comes from the fact that there's no chapter select. But that being said, there is some quality of life stuff to this kind of thing. A lot of these games really put an emphasis on exploration, and this game does too. But after you've seen everything, you can go ahead and quick travel, which is something that you don't often see in this genre, and I definitely appreciated that. And the best thing about the quick travel is that you can actually see which characters are in which places, so that you can go ahead and plan your day that way. And of course, like Persona, some people are only going to be out during certain parts of the day or what day of the week that it is. And considering that it only takes place over the course of a month versus Persona taking place like over the course of 9, it feels more abridged in that regard. So yeah, I think Coffee Chat retails for like $20, and it's definitely a good one. It came out for everything on Valentine's Day, and I totally recommend it. So that's pretty much it. There's two other games I'm playing, but I can't talk about them.
All right. So yeah, let's get to some news. And first up here, I was technically part of the State of Play, but we'll talk about it now. They announced the game catalog lineup, or at least some of the games, as well as some of the stuff that will be coming in the near future. But yeah, we'll talk about what we got here. Let's see, for Extra and Premium, there's Star Wars Jedi Survivor for PS4 and PS5. Very good game there, the second of the series, and opens things up a good bit more. Some more freedom of movement, working on platforming kind of stuff there, so that's one to check out. That'll be available on the 18th here on Tuesday. Also on PS4 and PS5, a Top Spin 2K25. That is the latest Top Spin game, as 2K kind of gets back into tennis stuff, with a lot of the same kind of features that the NBA 2K games have. So that's one you can check out if you want some tennis. Then it was also part of the State of Play announcement is that Lost Records Bloom and Rage Tape 1 will be on PS Plus game catalog. So if you were worried about how you were going to pay for that, Lost Records Bloom and Rage, the two tapes, they've made that a little simpler for you. So you get we'll get both of them, but the first one is obviously out now on or out on the 18th here. And so the second tape will be also on the game catalog on April 15th. So that's something you can check out.
And I'm definitely going to check it out, because I've been anticipating these. Because I loved Life is Strange. I loved the sequel. I loved True Colors. I love when Don't Nod does this type of sort of slice of life / fantastical type stuff. So I'll definitely be all in on it.
So yeah, there's that. Let's see. For PS4, Saga Frontier Remastered. Another one of the various Saga games, this one from the PS1 that the Square Enix remastered and improved a good bit for that, so that's one you can check out. Also for PS4 and PS5, Somerville. This is the indie game from some of the people that worked on Inside in Limbo from Playdead. For that, and one has a family that kind of is dealing with this like alien invasion of sorts and all the stuff that goes on with that. So that's one to check out. Also on PS4 and PS5, Tin Hearts. This is a puzzle adventure game, or maybe puzzle platformer might be a more accurate description, but yeah, you are controlling these like tin soldiers that are moving around doing puzzles and whatnot. Yeah, with a little bit of a narrative stuff going on in there. So yeah, that looks neat. I believe that's also PSVR supporting, I believe. So there you go on that one. Also for PS4 and PS5, Mordhau. This is one of those big multiplayer games. Medieval slashing multiplayer game. So you're kind of, I think you're in first person on this one. I think it's similar to the Chivalry games. That kind of thing, 64 players and all that. So that one's one you can check out. And that's it for the main lineup. For the premium lineup of classics, there's Patapon 3 for PS4 and PS5. The third of these games on the PSP is a kind of rhythmic action adventure kind of thing, where you're guiding your group of Patapon to take down enemies and all that kind of stuff. In hindsight, kind of very much like a Monster Hunter-esque kind of game, in the sense that you're gathering materials to make equipment and armor and such for your Patapon to fight. That kind of stuff. I believe this one, they go a little more fantastical with the designs versus the first couple being more tribal designs to them. So, yeah, that'll be out. People check out also for PS4 and PS5, Dropship United Peace Force. This is a flight combat game where you are, let's see, set in 2050, a world in turmoil where a sinister force threatens its very existence, and only two outcomes are possible: global peace and global tyranny. You're part of the United Peace Force Dropship Squadron. Do you try to stop the bad guys, I guess? So,
yep.
Yeah, that looks neat. They are controlling stealth fighters, battle tanks, armored assault vehicles across 20 missions. Yeah, that was a PS2 game back in the day. I remember that. But yeah, that looks neat. So that's pretty much your lineup here. So some neat stuff coming out on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a pretty strong lineup overall. Somerville is one that I haven't dove into, and I've been interested in it for a while, so hopefully I can have some time with this one. But yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. That wasn't all that Sony had this week. They announced a new update for Astrobot that adds 5 more speedrun levels to the game. In similar fashion to the last time, they are being unlocked every week. Yeah, there's one that unlocked on the 13th, and we'll get 4 more unlocked every week after that from the 20th, 27th, March 6th, and March 13th.
Yep.
With new bots to unlock for that. So, yeah, that's fun to see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else here. I believe this also adds PS5 Pro support to it. So that'll be fun for people that have PS5 Pros. So yeah, there you go. Some more Astrobot fun to enjoy.
Yep, definitely going to check it out tonight.
And then speaking of platformers, Glover still exists.
Yeah,
you gotta love the glove.
Yeah.
So yeah, that came out on PC a couple of years ago. We're like, where's this on consoles? And I guess they finally decided to figure that out, and it'll be out February 27th on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. One of those 3D platformers that came out on the Nintendo 64 back in the day that was maybe more a result of better marketing than the game really deserved. The game itself is, it's neat that you're playing this glove that kind of moves this ball around to get around the stage and take out enemies and whatnot, but it's not that good of a game.
Yeah, it's not good. Not very fun either.
But I believe they did a little bit of work on this, but I don't know that it's going to make a huge difference for this, but it is one of those games. It's like, this is a novel idea, versus making, you know, say Croc or Gix, that are just like, these are just standard fare kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, that'll be out in another week or so for that, for people that want to check out a weird platformer from the N64 days.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Let's see. Oh yeah, Power Wash Simulator. They announced their next DLC, the Wallace and Gromit Special Pack, that will finally be out on March 4th. Sort of coming out in the wake of the most recent movie on Netflix, as they are doing a handful of more jobs in this for, I think it's like $8. For the price there, that's looking really good. The only real knock is that it's, you know, it's not able to emulate the claymation style all that well. So, which is more just a scope of the game and the DLC here for that stuff. So, but it still looks really nice for what it is. But yeah, seems like they have. Let's see. I think there's Wallace's Nook up in the top of the house, like where he decides he's going to go to the moon, kind of thing. I think he's got his workhouse in the backyard and all that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That'll be out in a couple of weeks here, so that'll be exciting. Yep. Let's see. Also out on March 4th. Is another cool looking game, Knights in Tight Spaces. This is the sequel to Fights in Tight Spaces, as they have decided to go medieval and build it around, you know, as the title says, knights and fighting a bunch of enemies. And I think it goes a little more fantastical in that sense. You're fighting some golems and I assume orcs and such. I haven't seen everything that's in this game, but it looks pretty cool. The first game was really, really good, so I'm sure this is also going to be very good as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So that'll be a good game to check out in March for that, and it's got a really nice art style to it for this one. So, yeah, there you go on that. Then we got one more here with an actual date. Level 5 tells us that Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time, will finally be out May 21st. I don't believe it until it's, you know, on my console of choice, but the nice little surprise is not just going to be a Switch game. It'll also be coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. So it'll be out on everything on May 21st. We'll see if that actually happens, but if that does, that'll be great. That's a game I've been looking forward to. Since they announced it 2 years ago, something like that. But yeah, that looks like it should be a pretty cool game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's about all I got.
Yeah, that'll be nice to see Level 5 release a game.
I never played the original Fantasy Life. I think that was a 3DS game, right? But I've heard nothing but good things about it. So I don't know if I'll have time to try this out, but it's good, why not?
Yeah, that was one of those games that was just kind of, it was an action RPG kind of thing where, and maybe in an MMO sense, you were just kind of getting a bunch of quests and doing them and all that kind of stuff in a very grindy manner, but it was never a boring, grindy game. It was just kind of a perfect fit for the 3DS, where you were kind of playing in, you know, chunks whenever you had time, and it was perfect for that kind of stuff, so I'm curious to see how it adapts for consoles and such, but yeah, that should work out all right. But yeah, we got another game here that is supposed to be out this year, Lost in Random, The Eternal Die. They have said it will be out this summer, but in the meantime, as part of this announcement, they also have a demo that is out now on Steam and Xbox. You can check that out. Yeah, that's the sequel to the game that was published by EA Partners a few years ago. But for the sequel, they are being published by Thunderful Games.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that one goes. But yeah, that first one I've heard a lot of good things about. So I would not be surprised if this one also is very well done. So yeah, that'll be out sometime this summer.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the original game, even though like there was a lot of like card-based mechanics, but it also didn't feel like one. It was definitely more on the action-based side. This one looks like it's going to be even more action with less chance, but at the same time, it also lists chance as a big thing. I think dice are involved now with this one, so who knows? I'm not sure if this is like a direct sequel, but more of like a like short follow-up. It doesn't seem like a game that was as big as the previous one. Plus, I think the developer is different, too. The previous game was developed by Zoink. This one looks like it's... It doesn't really say, aside from Thunderful was publishing it, but yeah. Oh, Stormteller. I don't know if they just changed their name or it's a different developer entirely.
I believe this was formerly Thunderful Gothenburg.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know what Zoink is doing with this, but yeah, it's interesting. I'll have to look into that and see like what if they owned it or if they sold the rights to somebody else. Okay, so they were acquired by Thunderful.
Mm.
Yeah, it says here on the wiki, it was their final game developed by Zoink prior to their consolidation into Thunderful Development. So that's why Thunderful is publishing this and making it.
Yeah, gotcha.
So yeah. Which is a shame. Zoink did a lot of great games.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't necessarily deserve to be folded into a bigger company, but yeah. So yeah, there you go for that.
Mm-hmm.
Another game was supposed to be out soon. The Alters was supposed to be out Q1 2025, probably within the next month or so. But now they've just delayed it to general 2025, so it'll be out sometime later this year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 11-bit Studios game where you're essentially part of a station that lands on this weird planet, and as part of that, you end up cloning yourself a bunch of times. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but all of them are named Jan, I believe. And they have various personalities and such, and that's in that way. So, yeah, you're kind of managing these groups and sending them out to complete tasks and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that looks like a really interesting game. But yeah, it'll be out sometime later this year for PS5, Xbox, PC, and Game Pass as well. So hopefully that game pulls it together by the end, by launch. So that'd be a cool game to see.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go for your games that are supposed to be out this year. We do have an announcement here. Jeff Minter has a new game.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Atari again to make a reimagining of classic Atari arcade game iRobot. A game that I don't really know too much about, but it was a 1984 shoot 'em up back in the day in the arcades that I assume Jeff must have really enjoyed because he is making his own reimagining, and I think just making it very weird and the way that Jeff Minter does, because all the screenshots and the video I've seen of this, I don't really know what's going on at any point here. Jeff Minter stuff is going on.
Yeah.
for that. So, yeah, that looks really neat. And, yeah, excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not particularly fond with this game either. I mean, I don't really know this game familiar? Either. Yeah, it's not terribly familiar to me. Yeah. But it definitely, the way that they're showing it, I mean, it definitely looks very psychedelic and interesting. So, like, it's got kind of like an indie game feel to it.
Yeah.
We'll just see how it actually, comes out.
Yeah, it'll be on everything, PS5, PS4,
mm-hmm.
Xbox, Switch, PC, as well as PSVR 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the Atari VCS, as they're still putting stuff out on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this this looks neat. Yeah, amongst the key features, unique tube shooter bonus stages, which is how you know it's a Jeff Minter game. Mm-hmm. He loves tube shooters. And either the whole game is a tube shooter, or he puts that in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that'll be looking nice. Probably out later this year, but I don't think they've said anything date-wise. Mm-hmm. So let's see when it's fully out. But I do like that after Atari sued Jeff Minter for essentially making his own TXK, his own Tempest there in all but name, that he's just been working with them, which I imagine is probably because they've changed leadership since then, and they're probably more easy to work with than being litigious.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's fun though. We got a couple of industry news here. Alan Wake 2 has reached profitability status. They finally reached the point where they will be able to generate royalties after recouping costs for Epic Games there. So that is good. Great that Remedy will finally start seeing the fruits of their labor on that game.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of the, I guess the fiscal report, yeah, they explained that Alan Wake 2 saw particularly high activity around October 2024 when they put out the first of their expansions. Or no, that's the second one, the Lake House expansion and a physical edition of the game. Those are followed up by the launch of a PS5 Pro update in November, and I believe the anniversary update was around then as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just putting out a bunch of extra content and ways to buy the game helps it out a lot. For that, so and part of that process, they also have announced they are going into full development on the sequel to Control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, started earlier this month, which I assume means February. After the company verified the velocity of asset creation, established clear pipelines, Max Payne 1 and 2 is currently making steady progress in full production, is on track to meet key development objectives. And there's FBC Firebreak, the multiplayer shooter that is like a spinoff, is also in full production. Completed a closed technical test with external players in December. So they're working on that as well. So yeah, that's great news for Remedy to kind of keep going and have plenty of this stuff to work on for the time being. So that's great to hear.
Yep. And Alan Wake 2 was really good. I'm glad that that game is selling well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a little bit concerning that it took almost 2 years for that to happen. I'm wondering if that was because of finally having physical versions available, since it was only available digitally. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it's they reached about 2 million copies sold, so I imagine that was probably their break-even point for what Epic needed to start giving them residuals and all that, so that'll be good though for them. Let's see here. Yeah, last weekend there was about a whole day where the PSN PlayStation Network was out for a good bit there, and as it became kind of meme worthy on the internet, once it finally came back up, Sony didn't really put out much of a statement saying, you know, explaining what happened. They basically said that they had an operational issue that took it down for a good bit, apologized for the inconvenience, and thanking the community for their patience. They did announce that that PS Plus members will receive an additional 5 days of service added to their accounts. So that'll be as much of a goodwill gestures people get. Yeah, not really too much else to say there. Didn't really give any real explanation, but just some sort of operational issues. So I imagine, I don't know, maybe there was some hardware that just went down randomly for some reason. It doesn't really seem like there's any sort of security breach or anything for that, but yeah, that's hopefully that is the last we see of any of this kind of stuff for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that this even happened, and I'm assuming it's reached like the meme status that it has, just because, you know, Sony is known for that 30-day outage of PSN, like, back into PS3 days, which was, you know, at this point more than 10 years ago. But yeah, people don't forget, so I totally get that part of it. And then in regards to the communication, you know, you have to realize that it happened, what, late Friday, early Saturday? And, you know, Sony's base of operations is the Bay Area now. And yeah, people have the weekend off. So I totally get the frustration for the lack of communication on PlayStation's part until, like, maybe it was too late for people. But aside from that, I do think that the 5-day PSN extension is useful, especially considering that, you know, everybody affected is a member, and the price has only gone up. So, you know, getting an extra 5 days when you lost one doesn't seem bad to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the last of the non-State of Play news here. So we'll kind of get into that and kind of see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got some stuff here.
Yeah. They announced that they had a big sort of show with, I think, 40-plus minutes, they said. Of stuff to talk about, and yeah, we'll kind of work our way through this. So yeah, first up, they opened up with Monster Hunter Wilds, showing some more of that off, since that is out here on the 28th, I think. But part of this was that they announced their first free updates, which will include a new monster for people to check out sometime in the spring. So
yep,
yeah, that'll be a one that people can add to the roster of monsters to kill pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started getting some nice surprises here. We got Shinobi Art of Vengeance, the newest game in the Shinobi series, one that we haven't gotten anything since, I think, the PS2 days.
Yeah, we have not seen Shinobi in well over a decade, probably 15 years. It's been a while.
Yeah, and this one is kind of following in the footsteps of that... a recent Ninja Gaiden game that got announced, as far as a really nice art 2D platformer action game thing going on here that looks really neat. I believe you're still playing as Joe Musashi.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, who arrives home from a previous adventure to find his village burned to the ground and his clan turned into stone. Driven by vengeance, Joe sets off on an epic quest, battling hordes of enemies and larger-than-life bosses across stunning hand-drawn worlds. So yeah, that's a game that looks really nice, and that'll be out August 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Who's making this one? It's Lizard Cube. Okay, the Streets of Rage 4 people.
Yep.
Yeah, for me, this was the game of the show. You know, I said it the other week when we talked about all the Ninja Gaiden stuff. I am not going to be apologetic for all of the Ninja games we're getting this year. You know, we're getting the two Ninja Gaiden games, and now we're getting Shinobi, as you mentioned, from the Streets of Rage 4 team, so like that almost guarantees this game is going to be good. And this was from an era where I wasn't a Sega kid, so yeah, I can't be more excited.
Yeah, so that'll be on everything PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC.
Yeah.
Continue the Sega fun here. Sonic Racing Crossworlds was shown off some more, so we got to see more of what the Crossworlds part of it is. Which will have other non-Sonic stuff in it.
Yeah.
And the kind of the neat thing is they're kind of using the rings from the Sonic movies as a prop here, because the Crossworlds essentially use you going through these rings into other worlds, essentially. And I believe some of those are going to be non-Sonic stuff. I don't know if all the kart racers are Sonic characters, but you go into other properties worlds. I don't think they've really explained all that stuff just yet. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And they will have a closed beta test on February 21st. So people can sign up for that, I believe, and see if they can get in.
Yeah.
You have the ability to do that until the 19th. They'll go from the 21st to the 23rd. So a little short thing, so I assume people will let you know about everything in there.
Yeah, hopefully we see some real substance here. There are a lot of people who think the last Sonic Racing game was better than Mario Kart, so yeah, I'd love to see it continue to evolve.
Team Sonic Racing, I don't think people were high on, but the Transformer one, People really liked a lot for that. But yeah, this one.
Oh yeah, sorry, I was referring to All Star Racing Transformed.
Yeah.
Thanks. Team Sonic Racing, people were like, where the fuck is the non-Sonic people? We fucking hate this game. So yeah. This beta test will have characters, iconic Sonic characters like Zazz and Omega.
Yeah.
That I've never heard of, so there you go.
Mm-hmm.
then we got an interesting trailer for Digimon Story, Time Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer for that looked very much like a Dark Souls trailer early on. It was a very dark and moody kind of trailer, and I was like, this is not the Digimon game, is it? And it ended up being that. I think that got leaked a little bit earlier in the day, like a store page or something like that went up early. But yeah, this is the newest Digimon Story game. Mm-hmm. Is their RPG kind of series there. So yeah, people will be looking forward to that. That's out later this year. That'll be on PS5, Xbox, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
For people to check out. So there you go.
Mm.
Then we got another game here. Lost Soul Aside finally has a date.
Yeah.
May 30th. That'll be on PS5 and PC.
Yeah, this game is one of the most like cinema worthy origin stories in the world. It was literally started by a guy who saw a trailer for Final Fantasy. Was it Final Fantasy 15 or was it 14? I think it was 15. And he was like, I love the look of that. I want to make my own game. So he literally created a trailer for a game that he would like the idea of playing. And it ended up going viral, and he ended up getting a deal with Sony where he was able to get an actual development team together to actually make the game. Like, that's a hell of a story.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really neat, so.
Not to mention, it looks awesome. It looks like Final Fantasy did it with Nier Automata, and I'm like, okay, I'm all in for it. But yeah, like, as you mentioned, it went viral in that way. I do get a little concerned because this game was, I believe, in development since 2017. And normally, when you have a game in development for that long, it'll feel like it came from 2017, and it's 2025 now. So hopefully they found a way to make it feel modern.
We'll see.
Yeah. But yeah, this is one of those China Hero Project games, so we'll have to see how good it is in May. So got a little time to wait for that. Then we got a little bit of a news block here. They announced a demo for Like a Dragon Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii is out now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you can check that out.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to. And I love just how unbelievably goofy this game looks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously it has to be because you're playing Goro Majima and he's one of the. Yeah, yeah. He's one of the goofiest characters in the franchise. So,
goofy yet scary, you know.
That's, yeah.
Not a guy you want to screw with.
No.
Yeah. And they mentioned here you get to freely explore part of Honolulu and Mad Atlantis.
Mm.
So that must be the new area for the pirates.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go. And they also got some karaoke, so you can enjoy three songs in that. So that'll be out February 21st. So that's later this week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. They also announced Dave the Diver and sort of continuing the Yakuza thing. That there is some collaboration DLC with Like a Dragon coming called Ichiban's Holiday.
Yeah.
That'll be out in April. That will add, let's see, Ichiban and bartender of the Survive Bar visit the Blue Hole for a relaxing holiday. But trouble always seems to find Ichiban. I believe there's going to be some like beat 'em up content to this, as well as some other stuff. But yeah, that looks neat. That'll be out in April.
Yeah, I've never played Dave the Diver, but Ichiban's Holiday looks amazing.
Yeah. To get to see him doing his weird shit, so there you go. And then let's see, more news. Splitgate 2 will have an open alpha test on February 27th. So that'll be pretty nice to see. 27th to March 2nd. So yeah, that'll be nice. Because yeah, Splitgate was a game that hit big early on, and then they kind of said they were done working on it because the stuff they wanted to add to the game was not going to be possible without them kind of working on a sequel with some fresh tech. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see what they got here. But yeah, if you haven't seen the original Splitgate, it's basically kind of Halo meets Portal. Essentially, you have a lot of like Halo style match types, and you have nice ability to throw out portals that allow you to either get across the map more quickly or have a means for getting the beat on people without them noticing or whatever, shooting through it, you know, that kind of stuff. So yeah, that looks neat. That'll be on PS5, Xbox, and PC here next week. So that's one to check out. And then the last one here, they announced a new feature for WWE 2K25 that is just for the PS5 and Xbox Series X and S that is called The Island, which seems to be their version of what they tend to call the city in the NBA 2K games, which is like a social space that you can run around and hang out with other people that play the game, and usually buying cosmetics is the main focus of that, which is makes it surprising that it took them so long for this kind of feature. But yeah, that looks neat.
Yeah, this is definitely something I'm not all that excited for. This city was kind of what ruined my interest in NBA 2K in the first place, and yeah, seeing WWE adopt that is kind of rough. The other thing is, like, I don't really know what you'd want to spend like real money on here if they decide to go that route, and I'm pretty sure they will. And yeah, it's like, I don't know how popular the my wrestler or my superstar is for the WWE games, but I just don't see it reaching like NBA 2K levels of excitement. But at the same time, like, this is also a series that's been on the up and up for a few years, and with Roman Reigns on the cover, I'm sure they don't want to screw this one up either.
Yeah. I imagine they'll sell lots of t-shirts and other dumb shit. I know, like, a lot of the cosmetic stuff in 2K is, like, the ability to get skateboards and bikes and such to get around it a lot faster. But this one, I don't know. They did mention there's, like, four areas. There's an arcade. There's Hero HQ, which I guess is for all the faces. Temple of the Ancestors, which is the Lucha area. And then the Deadlands, which is for the supernatural wrestlers, I guess. So it's at least neat that it's not just like, here's buildings and ads essentially everywhere.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are going to be lots of WWE ads all over this for pay-per-views and such. So yeah, I don't know. That looks neat. And yeah, that game is out March 14th, so not too far away either. But yeah, then we work into some more games. Another 2K game, Borderlands 4, made a big part of this showcase as they announced a date, September 23rd, and that there will be a State of Play happening sometime this spring to talk more about the game. So I guess I hadn't seen necessarily what all the... I don't think they're making any like big changes to the gameplay here. But it seems like one of the big things they're doing is more movement abilities and such. So you have like a glider, more dodge stuff, double jumps, fixed point grapples and stuff like that. Which will make it a little easier to get around versus just having like vehicles and such. So that's nice looking. But yeah, I'm curious to see whatever this Borderlands 4 State of Play has to show for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I am crossing my fingers. I enjoyed playing Borderlands 3. I thought it was a lot of fun, but as far as the writing goes, it just wasn't there. They tried to go with this whole idea of like making the villains like influencers and stuff who are also kind of like cult leaders or whatever. And it kind of worked, at least in the beginning. But by the last third of the game, it was like they had basically given up. and were like struggling to find a way to end the story. And the way they end, like the way the game ends is like just one of the biggest cop outs I've ever seen. But you know, just fingers crossed. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. But yeah, we got another trailer for Split Fiction, because that's out on March 6th.
Mm-hmm.
So people can check that one out. Let's see. Oh yeah, then we got Directive 8020, a Dark Pictures game.
Mm-hmm.
The newest game from that little franchise. I think this is the one that's kind of busting out of the just being a narrative adventure game.
Mm.
I think this one has a bit more to it. With that, but yeah, that'll be out October 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it looks neat.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this one seems to be more sci-fi, mm-hmm. alien horror kind of thing.
Yeah. A bit more on that. It definitely has that kind of alien look to it. It's very yeah. kind of grimy. There's, you know, it's very lived in future type of look. Looks very claustrophobic. Yeah.
Yeah, and it seems like they have new mechanics here. You have a flashlight that lets you see what you're doing around there, but can also alert enemies to your presence. You have a scanner, which is a very alien kind of thing. Yeah, for detecting electronics and remotely activating systems, helping to distract enemies and overcome obstacles. You have a messenger to... Yeah, strategize with crewmates
mm-hmm.
while staying under the radar, and a wedge tool for opening doors. As a last resort, it can be used as a weapon to temporarily stun enemies. So yeah, that's definitely a bit different than what the previous games were, which were mainly just story focused. So
mm-hmm.
That looks neat, especially mm-hmm. if they're going for more full price mm-hmm. Kind of length of game. Because the previous games were all kind of like $30, $40 games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go. Let's see. Then we got another spooky game, Five Nights at Freddy's Secret of the Mimic.
Yep.
As this franchise never dies.
Nope, it will never die.
There's obsessed about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming to PS5 and PC on June 13th. So yeah, you are in an abandoned workshop of Murray's Costume Manor. So, you know, you get to find more lore for the people who are obsessed with that. And then, yeah, speaking of horror games, The Midnight Walk finally got a date, May 8th. This is for PS5, PSVR 2, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
This is a neat-looking game. They got announced, I think, in one of the previous State of Plays. Yeah, this is published by Fast Travel Games and made by Moonhood, and is using, I think, like claymation or built in clay.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be people from Zoink that founded this studio, because it's from people yep. that made Lost in Random, mm-hmm. Fee, and Ghost Giants. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Damn, this looks legit kind of amazing.
Yeah, got a really nice style to it and all that.
Oh, yeah. And very creepy.
Oh, yeah. Even the main character that you're controlling mm-hmm. has a very creepy look to him.
Very Nightmare Before Christmas, Tim Burton-esque looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very much kind of their vibe.
Mm. I'm not really into first-person games or creepy games, but this one does look like it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know if this one's first-person. I think it's third-person.
It looks like it goes between the two.
Okay. But yeah, that looks neat.
Yeah, I'm just judging from the screenshot of the hand. So.
Mm.
I think that's... like it's a bad guy? I don't know. I haven't seen a ton of the... a pure gameplay to mm-hmm. it, but...
Yeah. I don't remember if it was third or first, but I did, like... I definitely wasn't interested in what I was watching. It was definitely a high point for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that looks neat for that. And then we got just some more lighthearted affair as Konami has a new game that they're publishing from a developer mm-hmm. called Z-Drime Tim. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing that, but It is a game called Darwin's Paradox, an action-adventure platformer. It's coming to PS5, Xbox, and Switch and PC sometime later this year. That is, you are taking control of Darwin, an octopus who can blend into his environment and use this in like a stealthy manner to avoid enemies and such. But yeah, it looks really neat, like a more fantastical, like inside kind of game. So yeah, that looks pretty neat and cute. So yeah, looking forward to that one whenever that's out.
Mm-hmm.
Later this year. Then we got a game here, Warriors Abyss. This is a new Dynasty Warriors game, but it's a roguelike action game that is out now. They launched it alongside the showcase. And that's on everything, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. I believe $25 on that, so you can get into that and check it out. So yeah, there you go. For that one, let's see. And yeah, kind of keeping to the theme, Onimusha 2 got a date. The remaster on May 23rd will be out.
Yep.
Has some enhanced visuals and quality of life stuff to it. Yeah, as a special bonus, players who pre-order Onimusha 2 Samurai's Destiny or pick up the Onimusha 1 plus 2 pack bundle early will include the Onimusha 2 Orchestra Album Selection Pack, which features orchestral music tracks and helpful in-game items. Players will save data from the first game, the remaster from 2019, and also unlock a special outfit for Jubei inspired by Samanosuke, protagonist from the original game. So some nice bonuses there. Yeah, what a quality of life stuff do they have here. They added a new difficulty mode called Hell Mode, where a single hit spells death. The option to enjoy the story by selecting easy mode from the start. I'm guessing this is that kind of game where you had to die a bunch before it opened up easy mode. The quality of life features include the ability to swap weapons without pausing the action, the power to choose when Jubei transforms into an Onimusha. There's also autosave, skippable cutscenes, multiple aspect ratios, and a bunch of in-game gallery stuff to unlock as well. So that's cool. More stuff there. Then we got a new trailer for Onimusha Way of the Sword. I got to see more of the main character and all that, so that is cool. Yeah, Miyamoto Musashi, who seems to have a bit of a sense of humor to him.
Yep.
He definitely had some cocky moments and then ran into a bunch of enemies. And, so yeah, that's looking neat. He has some tools to him that he can use to fight these demons. So, yeah. Oh, the face is modeled after Toshiro Mifune, who portrayed Musashi in classic samurai films. So that's cool. For that, so yeah, he has the Oni Gauntlet that gives you more fantastical abilities, I guess. So yeah, that looks neat. Then we start getting to some other games. Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater has a date, August 28th, for PS5, Xbox, and PC. That's still looking pretty good. So yeah, that'll be a late summer game for people to check out. Yeah, they announced all their pre-order bonus stuff for that. So yeah, I think this is a $60 game. I think they have a typo here because it says the standard edition is $80, and I don't think that's the case because the digital deluxe edition is $70. I'm assuming it's $60 and $70. You get 48 hours of early access with the digital deluxe edition, as well as a bunch of extra cosmetic items, including the crocodile suit, which is a classic one of those. He also has some suits from I forget what the PW is, Phantom. No, I forget. I think it's the PSP game. So yeah, there you go for that. They announced a date for Hell Is Us. That is that sort of horror action game. They got announced at, I forget which one, but that'll be out September 4th for PS5, Xbox, and PC. That's $60 for that game. Yep, that looks neat. And then we got Liza P expansion Overture. That'll be out this summer on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. Then we got one of the games that really stuck out for me, Dreams of Another. This game, Q Games, directed by Bion, who directed Pixel Junk Eden, I think Pixel Junk 4AM, maybe a couple other games, but this is a neat looking game that is kind of one of those narrative games. Yeah, it's a third-person exploration action game built around the philosophical theme, no creation without destruction. Rather than destroying objects by shooting at them, as is traditional in shooting games, here your shots materialize and create the world, so you're kind of seeing these vague forms of buildings and objects and whatnot. Your character just starts shooting at them, and they start forming into, you know, a door, a building, or trees or whatever. It's a very interesting kind of theme here. And yeah, it looks really neat. That'll be on PS5, PSVR 2 later this year at some point. So I'm looking forward to that one. Let's see. Then we got another Sony announcement. Days Gone Remastered was announced for PS5 for people to check out. So I believe it's it'll be $49.99 or $10 upgrade for people who own the original game. The PC version will also receive the new content that's being added here, $10 piece of DLC. If they already own it, the base game, or else they get a remastered release. I believe they are improving this a good bit with increased graphical fidelity, foliage draw distance, shadows, lighting quality, Tempest 3D audio, VRR support, that stuff. To support PS5 Pro and all that. So there's that. They have DualSense controller support. That's one of those games that use the DualShock 4, like the touchpad and all that, pretty well. They're doing that with the DualSense as well. Has a bunch of new accessibility options to it. And they've added some new content as well. There's a Horde Assault mode, there's a survival arcade mode, essentially. So you can take on these different challenges of fighting huge hordes of zombies and whatnot. There's also permadeath mode, so you can have a more challenging experience, as well as some additional content here. Let's see, there's another game mode. Equip your nitrous and race against speedrun mode. You need to play through the story as quickly as possible. So there's that, and there's a new photo mode. An enhanced photo mode. So yeah, that looks pretty neat. I don't know if I'll spend the $10 on this, but maybe I will. I like that game, but I've not played it in a while, so might be a good reason to get back into it. Then yeah, we got news that there is new Stellar Blade DLC coming in June.
Yep.
As well as the PC version coming out at the same time. This is called Goddess of Victory Nike DLC.
Yep.
As they're doing like a crossover DLC for that. So, yeah, I believe that's one of those probably Korean mobile franchises that's pretty big that we don't know anything about because we don't have any experience with that. So, yeah, there's more of that stuff coming at some point for people that still like Stellar Blade. And then, yeah, we got into some PS Plus news here as they announced a couple of games that would be PS Plus game catalog at launch. There's Blue Prince, which has been coming to PC sometime this spring. Will also be coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. Will be coming to PS Plus as well as Game Pass at launch. Which is interesting. I think both of these games here are coming to Game Pass and PS Plus at launch. So that's an interesting deal to make there. I don't think they've had too many games that were on both at once at launch like this. I think it was Sea of Stars is one of those. But this is, I believe, a puzzle adventure game. Yeah, I think that's basically what this is.
Yeah.
Looks really neat. For what I can see here, the screenshots and all that. That looks really neat, so that'll be fun whenever it's ready to. And the second game here is Abiotic Factor. This one's been doing pretty well on PC for a bit. This is one of those co-op games. Survival crafting game where you are teaming up with some buddies in a kind of style scientist facility that has had aliens or whatever. And so you're teaming up with buddies to take them out and explain more things that you can use for crafting and whatnot. And all that. So yeah, that'll be coming to PlayStation Plus, Game Catalog, and Game Pass Ultimate at launch. So that'll be cool. Because that's supposed to be out in 1.0 this summer. So I believe that'll be PC, PS5, and Xbox at launch there. So that'll be cool. I believe it'll have cross-play between all platforms. So if you want to play with people on the other platforms, you can. So yeah, that's cool. Let's see. Then we got a couple more announcements here. Tides of Annihilation. This is another big action adventure game inspired by Arthurian legend. So yeah, that looks neat. That's PS5, Xbox, and PC. No date yet. So, but this is a Chinese studio that's been working on this. So that looks neat. Let's see. Then we got a game called Metal Eden that also looks neat. So this is a first-person shooter. Sci-fi first-person shooter kind of thing. Maybe a little Doom-esque to it. Something like that. No real horror elements, but it seems like that kind of shooting vibes to it.
Yeah.
This is from the developer of Ruiner. Raycon Games. And that'll be out May 6th for PS5, Xbox, and PC. So that one's not too either. And then let's see. We got Mind's Eye. This is the new game from The Bends. Published by IO Interactive. They're publishing labels. So that's a big get for them. Build a Rocket Boy is the developer. Leslie Benzies was a big part of the Rockstar developer teams for the last 10, 15, 20 years. Very much mythologized as like the guy that came in, needed people to make big decisions and help them get the game to where it needed to be. So he's the director on this game. It's like a story-driven action-adventure game. That looks pretty neat from what they've shown. It'll be out this summer at some point on PS5, Xbox, and PC. So, yeah, that looks neat. And then, they ended with one last game from one of the internal teams at Sony. This is Saros, new game from Housemarque.
Yep, that's right. The guys behind Returnal.
Yeah, very much the follow-up to Returnal as they described it. But instead of Returnal kind of being a game about learning from your mistakes and sort of a roguelite faction, but you did not really have much that you were upgrading between runs. It was mostly during the run that you were kind of doing your upgrade stuff.
Yeah.
They mentioned here, like, the big difference is that you are permanent resources and progression, making every death valuable. So after every death, you'll face a changed world, but in Sorrows, you'll be able to choose and permanently upgrade your loadout from an evolving set of weapons and suit upgrades to come back stronger to overcome the challenges you face on Arcosa. So yeah, we got to see a little bit of gameplay and some cinematic stuff. And yeah, the main character is played by Rahul Kohli. That is a big get for them. He plays the role of Arjun Devraj, powerful Soltori and enforcer who will stop at nothing to find who he's. So yeah, that looks really neat. That is out next year, 2026. So yeah, Excited for that, and yeah, that is a big announcement.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, because Returnal was like one of those games to come out that like made the PS that was like a it was like one of the killer apps for PS5. Like it was damn good.
Yeah, made the DualSense a very cool way to play games with that one. But yeah, that's kind of the showcase there. So, Brandon, what did you like about this show? What stuff are you excited about?
All right. So, amongst other things, let's see, just going down by the line here. If I can get back here. I accidentally closed the window. Now I got to bring it back up. Okay. I am definitely interested in seeing how Lost Soul Aside actually comes out and plays. Because I really want that game to succeed. And I want it to be good. And I hope that it, you know, the dude's drive and ambition translates into a legitimately great game. Also, you know, Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza. Yeah, that one's definitely one I'm looking forward to. Because I do love that franchise, and I do love the idea of being able to play Goro Majima in some weird pirate fantasy. That just, it makes sense in context. As far as like Borderlands 4 is concerned, like I said, I'm kind of crossing my fingers on that one because I do love Borderlands, and I do love those characters, and I do love that game, that gameplay and that sort of gameplay cycle, but you know, they really have to step it up for the writing. And you have to understand, Borderlands 2, part of the reason it became such a massive hit compared to the first game was that they stepped up the writing in just incredible ways compared to the original. The original, in comparison, is very kind of bland. And sort of, it's like, it's very obvious that they kind of changed the initial concept of the game, what the game was supposed to be like about halfway through. But by the time Borderlands 2 came out, they had really sort of gotten the idea of what they wanted from this game, and it showed, and it ended up being an amazing game. And then Borderlands 3 came out, and, you know, it was like they had a good idea, but they just could not stick the landing. So what I'm hoping is, and that, you know, they've since put out some other Borderlands-related games that have done pretty well. I'm hoping that they've managed to, maybe they've nailed this one down, I hope. Next up, Split Fiction. I love the idea of those games. I would love to play them, but I don't have anybody to play them with, unfortunately. But I've definitely, you know, I've watched people play It Takes Two. I've watched people play A Way Out. And those games are both amazing to watch. So hopefully, you know, this game will end up being very fun to watch as well. Let's see, what else? Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. I played the original Snake Eater back in the day. Really liked it. I honestly, part of me is like, you know, unless Kojima is there with it, I really don't know how this game's going to turn out. Let's see. Really, at the end of all that, probably Saros is the other one I'm looking forward to, because I really loved Returnal. And I want to see where they're going to go from there. But yeah, that's pretty much all from me.
How about you, Dinro?
Yeah, this was a really interesting presentation, to say the least. There weren't a whole lot of games that spoke to me, but what I'll give this presentation credit for is the fact that it kind of felt like the kinds of presentations we, you know, were used to when we were, you know, getting into the industry. Like, there were so many dates. And I don't remember the last time I've watched a presentation with this many dates, and I've added a lot of them to my calendar already. But yeah, just to go down the list the way Brandon did. First of all, you know, I have no qualms about like games like Monster Hunter or Pirate Yakuza being good, but they don't have to be here. Like, the games are coming out next week. If you want them, you want them. They don't really need to have any time on this thing unless there's a real update here. Yeah, like with there's the Pirate Yakuza demo, and then you also have the Spring 2025 update. But like, those can be saved for, their own presentations if need be. As I mentioned before, Shinobi was my game of the show. That's easily the one that I'm most excited for. Sonic Racing looks pretty cool. I don't know if I'll have time to get into that beta, but that's definitely something I do want to try out. Lost Soul aside, everything Brandon said, I absolutely agree with. We talked about Dave the Diver earlier, and I've never played it, but I'm interested in that Yakuza crossover. Splitgate 2 is a game that I have my eye on, primarily because I spent a lot of time with the first Splitgate earlier last year, just straight up because 1047 was one of the companies I interviewed with. So the fact that I've met some of those people makes me want to cheer for them a little bit. We talked about 2K25. So Split Fiction is interesting. As we know, It Takes Two was my game of the year of 2021, and Split Fiction looks like it's the same boat. My thing here, though, is that I don't really know if I care about those two characters. That'll probably change, but like so far, like nothing that they've said or have done like really interests me. But at the same time, that studio might as well be as revered to me as Naughty Dog, because I love everything that they put out, and I'm sure I'll love this one when it comes out as well. Directive 8020 did have my attention because I love Supermassive until I found out it was a Dark Pictures game. I don't know what it is about like the Dark Pictures games compared to games like Until Then or what was another that just came out, The Quarry, and I know that they're sort of separate teams, but at the same time, like they play the same, but the level of quality is always like night and day between those two, and I don't know which direction Directive 8020 will go. And I'm not a big space guy, but this is also something I'll have my eye on. Midnight Walk, we talked about it. That was definitely one of the more appealing ones that I saw. Onimusha is also one that I'm excited for, except that, with the original games with the tank controls, I absolutely hated them. I've never played the Onimusha remake that came out a few years ago, so I don't know how in tune I'll be with the second one, and I don't remember if the first or second one was considered better back in those days, but I am still excited about Way of the Sword. Snake Eater, I think I'm a little bit more positive on this one than Brandon is, and the main reason why is because it's really hard to screw Snake Eater up, because just going back to the game on the 3DS version, like it was like rough, but it wasn't terrible, and that's pretty much why what I expect here. And the reason why I'm a little bit more positive on it is because of what we saw them do with Silent Hill 2. Silent Hill 2 ended up being a banger for them last year, and Konami can ill afford to drop the ball with Snake Eater here. So I'm looking forward to that. And the other one that really spoke to me was, I'm not gonna lie, everything between Dreams of Another, I'm sorry, everything after Stellar Blade, so Blueprints going on to Mind's Eye, those all just seem like games that you can throw in a random name generator and they'll come up with those titles. None of those spoke to me at all. But Pharos looks interesting. I enjoyed Returnal. I didn't love it just because, I didn't finish it. And that being said, like I really enjoyed the time I had with it. It was just too hard for me at the end of the day, and I wonder if Saros will suffer the same fate. But the whole thing about you getting better with each death, without the obvious reasons, definitely seems cool, and I look forward to hearing more about that game, although it's coming next year. But yeah, let's see here. Yeah, Dreams of Another also looks pretty interesting. Anyway, that being said, like it was an interesting presentation. As I mentioned, like not everything spoke to me, and the main reason was because there wasn't a whole lot of whimsical stuff here. Everything was dark, edgy, gory. Like this might have been like an emo gamer's paradise, as far as I'm concerned. Everything was just gray, and I want to see more color. And if anything, this whole presentation made me look more forward to what Nintendo is going to do on April 2nd when they do the Switch 2 stuff, because I know that we're going to make up for all the color there. But at the end of the day, like I added more dates to my calendar, and there's definitely more stuff to look forward to as opposed to this time last year, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. So yeah, for the things that I'm looking forward to here, probably Shinobi Art of Vengeance just looks like a very neat modern reimagining of that classic series. That looks really neat. I'll probably check out Lost Soul Aside. We'll see how the releases are looking in May. But that one might be one I'd check out. But yeah, let's see here. Definitely interested in Darwin's Paradox. This looks like a very nice, silly game that
mm-hmm.
would definitely be something I would like to see more of, as well as, I still don't know if I'm going to bother with Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater. I love the original game so much, but I also don't know that I give a shit about a non-Kojima remake of this game. For that, so yeah, that's one I may check out at some point. I don't know. But Dreams of Another is probably one of the top games for me at the showcase because I really like Bayon's work. He does a lot of weird and interesting games, and this seems like more of that, especially just it being so different from the other stuff that Q Games has made. As you just have this dude shooting at stuff to build out these areas and whatnot. Was just a visual that just looked really silly. It was fun looking. But yeah, like Blueprints looks really neat. I'm curious about that one. Metal Eden looks pretty neat. We'll see about that. And Sorry looks really nice. I'm looking forward to that one next year. So yeah, nice to have some. This showcase kind of really shows that there is a quite a huge swath of games coming out this year with a bunch of these having dates pretty much going on from now through, what's the latest one here? September, October, Directive 28 or 8020 is in October. So yeah, like a bunch of stuff that you can look forward to, over the next, 6-7 months, 7-8 months here, as well as a few that are coming out, maybe even later into next year, that all look pretty neat and interesting. Like the Onimusha Way of the Sword, that looks pretty neat, but that's doesn't have a date. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'll probably check out the remaster of 2, maybe. I got the first one. I got that when it was on sale pretty recently, and then I'll play that before I decide if I'm into checking out any of the other remasters, because if the gameplay itself doesn't do anything for me, I'll just wait for the one that's made for being out in this time versus ones that require a lot of nostalgia for how those games played and all that. So, but yeah, that's a nice showcase there. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what else is coming out of PlayStation. They got a bunch of stuff here coming out this year with 25, Death Stranding, Ghost of Yote. I forget what else we got coming this year, but yeah, they've got this year that'll look like for an interesting lineup. So yeah, we'll Lost Soul Aside is one of those as well. So yeah, looking forward to more of that. But yeah, I think we'll end the show there. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in, and thank you to Brandon and Danner for joining. We'll be back next week with a new slate of news. And if you enjoy the show, friends and family know they should check out the show, as well as people that are excited for games. Because, yeah, we got some stuff coming out this week. As, we got Avowed is out this week. Lust Records, Bloom and Rage Tape 1. Godzilla Voxel Wars, Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza and Y is also out this week. Next week is Monster Hunter Wilds. I'm going to take a guess at this On Your Tail game. It's still not going to hit this month. So let's see when that eventually hits the Switch. But been out on PC for a bit, so that might be the place to check it out in the near future. But yeah, still a number of good games coming out this this week and next. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on those. And if, yeah, it'll end up doing it for this week. So thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good rest of your week, and we'll see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.